Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're here to cut through the noise and get straight to the insights you need. Today, we're plunging into an industry, well, one often shrouded in a bit of mystery, maybe some misperception, the adult services sector.
But this isn't about the usual narratives or stereotypes, right?
No, exactly. This deep dive is focused on understanding how one particular platform is really striving to bring unprecedented levels of safety, reliability, and, you know, professionalism to it.
And that platform is MyBookXX.
MyBookXX, yes.
Yeah.
A digital booking platform. And our mission today, well, it's to unpack the innovative ways it tackles these fundamental challenges like security, transparency, compliance.
Right. We'll look at its unique financial structure, its safety features, the ethical side too, all from the source material we've reviewed.
So this is really a shortcut for you listening in to grasp how technology is aiming to, well, redefine an entire industry.
Interesting angle.
And just a quick note before we dive deeper, pronunciation. MyBookXXX is pronounced MyBooks. Kind of a long sound at the end.
MyBooks, okay.
And if you see the website, it's MyBookXXX.com.
Good to know. So where do we start? What exactly is MyBookXXX laying the foundation?
Okay, yeah. So at its core, it's a digital booking platform. It connects verified adult companions, courtesans, agencies with clients.
And importantly, it's for adults, right? 21 and over.
Yes, strictly 21 plus. And there's a crucial distinction in how it operates. The company behind it, MyBooks Media BV, they're Dutch, provides the tech infrastructure.
Ah, so like an Airbnb model, they provide the platform, not the service itself.
Exactly like that. They facilitate the connection, but they don't directly offer the services. Mm-hmm. MyBooks Media BV is the tech provider here.
Okay, that clarifies the model. And where are they operating currently? What's their geographic reach?
It's pretty wide already. Let's see. Netherlands, Belgium, Luxembourg, Germany, Austria, Switzerland.
Okay.
France, Spain, Ireland, the UK, Norway, Sweden, Denmark, and Portugal. Quite the list.
That is expensive. Any plans for further expansion?
Yeah, they're looking at Canada, New Zealand, and Australia next.
Wow, okay. And to handle all that, presumably they need multilingual support.
They do. It's offered in Dutch, English, German, French, and Spanish currently. So quite accessible.
So the key takeaway here seems to be that this isn't just another online directory. It's fundamentally different.
Absolutely. You know, unlike those sometimes unverified directories where things can be a bit murky, MyBookXXX is building in reliability and accountability right from the very beginning.
It's about establishing trust from the ground up.
Precisely. Okay, let's unpack this. It's not just another directory. It's building trust from the ground up, which brings us to how they actually do that.
Right. Verification and consent seems central.
They really are the cornerstones, aren't they?
Yeah.
Let's talk about that ID verification process first.
Yeah, this is pretty rigorous from what I understand. It's mandatory ID verification for every single member.
Every member. So that includes clients, too, not just providers.
Everyone. Courtesans, agencies, and four agencies. That includes company ID checks, too, and clients. No anonymous bookings.
That immediately tackles a huge issue, right? Untraceable interactions.
Exactly. It significantly reduces the risk of, well, fraud, fake profiles, dodgy behavior, because everyone is accountable. It filters out a lot from the start.
So this mandatory verification, it sounds like a really strong shield. But I wonder, are there practical hurdles, like dealing with different countries' laws, or maybe does it put some users off?
That's a fair point. Navigating different legal systems, especially around privacy like GDPR in Europe, is definitely complex. But the platform seems designed with that compliance in mind.
Okay.
And as for putting users off, well, it might deter those looking for, let's say, anonymity for the wrong reasons. But for users, both clients and providers who actually want safety and legitimacy, it's a major draw.
So it acts as a signal of seriousness.
Precisely. It shows a real commitment to a secure professional environment.
Okay, that makes sense. And then layered on top of that verification, there's this thing called the intimacy consent agreement. What's that about?
Yeah, this is quite forward thinking. Basically, every time a booking is confirmed, the system automatically generates a digital consent agreement.
A digital agreement.
Yes. It documents that both parties have agreed to meet, and crucially, that they've agreed to do so safely and consensually.
How does that work with privacy, though, if everyone's ID is verified?
That's the clever part. They balance privacy and traceability. Courtesans can still use stage names for discretion. Clients only see the stage name in the booking and their own first name.
Okay, so there's still discretion day to day.
Right. But, and this is key, The platform securely holds the true verified identities of both the client and the provider.
Gotcha.
And the consent agreement itself actually includes a statement confirming that these true identities are known and verified by the platform. This gives it legal weight.
So it's legally binding, but still respects privacy laws like GDPR.
Exactly. What's fascinating here is how they achieve both legal validity and user discretion. This raises an important question. How do platforms balance user privacy with essential accountability? It seems my book XXX has found one way.
It really does seem like a careful balancing act. Okay, now moving on to something you flagged earlier, which sounds genuinely unique, especially for this industry, this Stichtingdurtinggelden.
Ah, yes, the Stichtingdurtinggelden, my book's media. It's a Dutch thing primarily, but the concept is powerful.
A Dutch thing, explain.
Stichtingdurtinggelden translates roughly to a third-party funds foundation. It's common in Dutch legal and financial sectors. Think of it like a secure, independent escrow account, a financial safety vault, essentially.
Okay, an escrow. So yeah. How does it work in this context with the booking payments?
Right. When a client pays for a booking, that money does not go into MyBooks Media BV's main bank account, their operational funds.
No. Where does it go then?
It goes directly into the separate independent Stichting account first.
Why? What's the significance of that separation?
It's legally crucial. It separates client funds from the company's own money. So even if, hypothetically, MyBooks Media BV ran into financial trouble, that client money held in the Stichting is protected.
Protected how?
It can only be used for two things. Paying out the provider after the booking, or refunding the client if necessary. It can't be touched for the company's running costs or anything else.
Wow. Okay, that sounds like a major guarantee.
It is. And it provides discretion, too. For the client, their bank statement just shows MyBooks Media BV. It doesn't mention the courtesan's name.
Ah, that's clever. So benefits all around. Guaranteed payments for providers, secured deposits for clients.
Exactly. It reduces the risk of non-payment or no-shows for providers. And yeah. Clients know their down payment is held securely.
Here's where it gets really interesting. This isn't just about moving money. It's a profound statement of financial integrity. But thinking bigger, how does this structure impact the provider's financial security, especially in an industry historically prone to, well, exploitation?
That's the core of its transformative potential, I think. It gives providers real financial autonomy and security. No more chasing payments. No more worrying if the platform itself is solvent. The funds are ring-fenced by law. It fundamentally changes the power dynamic.
It empowers the providers and builds huge trust for clients using the system.
Precisely. It's a foundational piece of their trust architecture.
So we've got verification, consent, this unique financial safety net. How does it all tie together in their business model? How do they actually make money, and what are the clear benefits laid out for everyone?
Okay, the business model. MyBooks Media BV takes a commission. It's 25% of the 30% down payment that the client makes to secure the booking.
Right. 25% of the 30% deposit. Is there a minimum?
Yes. There's a minimum commission of 25 euros. And importantly, that commission includes VAT. So it's transparent, no hidden extras.
And the rest of that 30% down payment?
That belongs to the provider. It's held safely in the Stichting until payout.
Okay, clear structure. So let's break down the benefits. For the courtesans and agencies using MyBook XXX, what are the main draws?
Well, number one is probably those guaranteed payments via the Stichting that drastically cuts the risk of no-shows or non-payment. Payouts are automated, too.
Less financial stress, basically.
Definitely. Then there's the fair and transparent commission we just discussed. The whole setup, mandatory verification, documented consent provides a more legal and professional framework to operate in.
Right, more legitimacy.
Exactly. Plus, discretion is maintained through stage names, and they have full control over their profiles. And you can't forget the marketing aspect.
Marketing.
Yeah, they get SEO-optimized profiles, exposure across all those countries, currently 10 in Europe, and access to things like FlyMeToYou bookings where clients pay for them to travel.
Okay, so security, professionalism, visibility. Now, flip side.
Mm-hmm.
What about the clients? What brings them to the platform?
For clients, the big one is access to genuinely trusted and verified companions. You know you're dealing with real people, not fake profiles or potential scams. 100% authenticity is the promise.
That peace of mind must be huge.
Absolutely. Then there's the discretion and privacy. The Stichting handles payments, so bank statements are discreet. Only their first name appears in bookings.
And the booking process itself.
It's secure. That 30% deposit confirms seriousness on both sides, reducing no-shows. The digital consent agreement protects both the client and the provider legally.
Plus the international aspect you mentioned.
Right. Access to providers across multiple countries, the fly me to you option, it broadens possibilities. And finally, there's this overall sense of safety and accountability.
How so?
Because providers can report problematic behavior, it helps weed out bad actors, which ultimately benefits serious clients looking for genuine, respectful interactions with verified professionals.
So if we connect this to the bigger picture, this integrated approach creates a virtuous cycle of trust and accountability for everyone involved.
That's a good way to put it. It reinforces positive behavior and expectations on all sides.
It's a really comprehensive system for security and accountability.
Yeah.
But there's another layer, something that feels quite groundbreaking, this collective protection network. Can you explain that?
Yes. This is, I think, quite pioneering for the sector. My book XXX has built an interface allowing courtesans and agencies to securely report clients who are abusive, disrespectful, or otherwise problematic.
Securely report them. Where does that report go?
It goes into a secure internal database. This creates the potential, the infrastructure, for a shared blacklist system within the platform.
A shared blacklist.
Okay.
So it's not just one provider's bad experience logged in isolation.
Potentially, no. The idea is to build a community defense. But I should stress, the implementation has to be incredibly careful.
How so? What are the challenges there? Ensuring it's fair, not misused?
Exactly. That's crucial. While the possibility for sharing is there, it's governed by strict privacy rules, GDPR compliance, you know, the works. It's not about instant bans based on one report. It's more about verified incidents, building a picture, perhaps triggering alerts. Due diligence is key.
Okay, so safeguards are built in, but the potential.
The potential is significant, and it goes beyond just their own platform. They talk about connecting, again, with legal and privacy safeguards to external safety organizations.
External ones, like who?
Well, for example, in Belgium, they mention established groups like UTSOPI, GAPRO, PASOP. In the Netherlands, names like Proud, PMW, De Rodra, De Kern come up. These are known advocacy and support networks.
So linking their internal reporting to wider existing safety nets.
That seems to be the goal. It creates the possibility of cross-border protection.
Wow. Okay, give us an example of how that might work.
Imagine an escort working via the platform in Brussels flags a client for serious misconduct. That information, handled appropriately and legally, could potentially alert another provider in, say, Amsterdam, if that same client tried to book there later.
That is powerful. That's building collective protection on a much larger scale.
It really is. It's moving beyond individual safety to industry-wide safety mechanisms.
So what does this all mean for transforming industry-wide safety? This is truly revolutionary, potentially.
It signals a major shift, yes. It's using technology not just for transactions, but to actively build protective networks and hold problematic individuals accountable across borders. And this ties directly into their overall ethical stance.
Right, because their stated commitment is very strong. They stand firmly against human trafficking, modern slavery, exploitation.
Absolutely. That's a core pillar.
So how do these mechanisms we've discussed, the verification, the consent, the potential blacklisting, how do they actively prevent those terrible things?
Well, it comes back to those foundations. Mandatory ID verification makes anonymous exploitation much harder. Digital consent agreements, document willingness, transparent traceability, the fact the platform knows the real identities, even if users have discretion, creates accountability.
So it removes the shadows where exploitation often thrives.
That's the idea. By bringing things into a verified, documented, traceable system, it makes it much more difficult for illegal or coerced activities to happen on the platform. Integrating with blacklists adds another layer of deterrence against known offenders.
And they seem to be framing this not just as internal policy, but aligning with bigger goals.
Yes, they explicitly mention aligning with UN Sustainable Development Goal 8.7.
SDG 8.7, that's the one focused on eradicating forced labor, modern slavery, and human trafficking.
Exactly. So they're positioning their work within that global framework. The message is technology, used responsibly, combined with transparency and accountability, can set a new, safer standard.
And perhaps change perceptions too.
That seems to be part of the aim. To help position providers as professionals operating in a safer, more regulated environment, and to show governments, NGOs, that innovation can make this industry more transparent and less prone to harm.
Okay, so let's try and recap this deep dive on my book, XXX. It's clear they're aiming for something much more than just facilitating bookings.
Definitely. It's about building an entire ecosystem based on, well, trust, fairness, safety.
Addressing it from multiple angles, financial, legal, personal safety.
Right. Using technology to enforce accountability and protect people in a field that's historically lacked those robust structures, removing the anonymity that can enable bad actors.
It really is a holistic strategy. Verification, consent, the sticking for financial security, the potential for collective protection networks.
All working together to try and create a safer, more professional space for both the providers and the clients.
So, as you reflect on everything we've unpacked today, here's a final thought to leave you with. How might this kind of model, this combination of really robust verification, innovative financial structures like that sticking Durdengelden, and these collective safety networks, how might that influence or even inspire professionalization and higher ethical standards in other industries?
Industries that maybe operate in the shadows or ones that just struggle with significant trust issues.
Exactly. What can we learn from this deep dive about technology's power, its potential to champion safety and dignity, maybe even in places we don't typically expect? Something to think about.